Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Tell the enemy, tell them there is no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 6. We started this last week. It says this: for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move in this place today, Lord. Don't let us have church as usual today, but may this word come alive and birth a prayer movement, birth a word movement in this church like never before. We give you all the glory and all the honor. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, the scriptures here are trying to tell us something, and we need to pay attention to them. Because I'm tired of seeing Christians live mediocre lives. I'm tired of seeing us experience the same losses as the world. Now, the Bible makes it very clear here that you and I are engaged in warfare. And I got to say this, you're in a war whether you like it or not. Let me say it like this, you're in a war whether you fight or not. So my advice to you is this: you better get fighting. But when I read the scriptures, the Bible says, hold on, before you get into a fight, you've got to understand that you have different weapons than the world has. Because what I see happening is Christians fighting with carnal weapons. We're trying to fight things in the spirit using natural weapons. And I got to tell you something, it doesn't work. This is why your prayers aren't getting answered. This is why you're at the same level, because you're not fighting and using the right weapons. And so that's why we're talking about this. This is why I'm taking some time to really unpack what our weapons are. And the word and the weapon that I want to talk to you about today, I want you to write this down, is this. The first weapon we're discovering and talking about is the spoken word of God. The spoken word of God. Now, the word of God is our most valuable weapon that we have. The book of Ephesians calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. But what I see the average Christian doing with the word of God is not using it as a sword. Many of us are simply propping ourselves up on that word or that sword. We're more or less using it as a cane to just kind of get through life. And we're limping through life using that sword as a cane. But the sword is not a cane. The sword is a sword. And then I see other Christians. Christians that have been in church a very long time. Christians that know the word. They're not using their sword either. What they're doing with their sword is they've got it propped up over the fireplace in their house. They've set up a nice little, thing there to put the sword of the Spirit in their office. And they like to bring people into their lives, and they like to show off their sword of the Spirit. Look at my sword. And they like to quote verses. And we like to show everybody how much I know. Look how much I know. Do you know what the Bible says? John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Yeah, I know it by heart. Oh, yeah. And those are the people, right? They come to church and all they do is critique the word. All always got something to say about the word. Oh, well, you know, that was a good word. Well, I've heard that before. Oh, yeah. Well, I heard so-and-so. Brother so-and-so on TV preached it like this, so I know where he got that word from. And we critique the word. And what we're doing is just shining our sword, putting it up in our life. And every now and again, we like to take it down and show everybody what we like. You know how many people I meet that just like to quote scriptures at me? Try to impress me with their Bible knowledge? I got to tell you something. I'm not impressed with people's Bible knowledge. I'm impressed with people's lives and what you can build with that Bible knowledge. Because there's a lot of people out there with Bible knowledge that have built nothing. A lot of people out there with Bible knowledge that haven't won one person to Jesus. A lot of people out there with Bible knowledge that have never discipled another human being. So Bible knowledge, it's not the goal line. Using that Bible knowledge is what I'm after. So I don't want to see disciples using our sword just to kind of get through life, which is what's happening. I don't want to produce disciples that just have a shiny sword and we know all the scriptures and we know all our favorite preachers on YouTube and we know all this and that and we know all the Christian artists and we go to all the worship concerts and we go to all the things and we just shining up. No, no, no. You know what I want to see? I want to see warriors. I want to teach you how to use your word and swing that thing so that you're still married in 10 years. I want to see you know how to use that word so you can raise good kids. I want to see you know how to use that word so that your business can be something you can hand over to your kids. I want to see you use that word so that you can buy a house in this economy. I want to see you use that word so you can get a new car, because that one you got, everybody wants you to get a new one. The neighbors want you to get. They're praying for your new. Man, get that fool a new car. Every time he pulls in, he's just pollution. And let me tell you something. This is what the word of God is for. It's a weapon in this warfare. It's a weapon to help you and I get the promised land. It's what Joshua carried. It's what you carry. But you got to use it. Amen? So I want you to take notes today because I got something for you today. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles now to Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. Before I can talk to you about using the sword, I got to talk to you about the sword because some of y'all don't know what you got. You don't know what you got. Some of you all are still seeking answers outside of the Word of God. Still searching for something that's going to get you over your trauma. Still searching for something that's going to make you a better mom. That's going to get you over the rape. Going to get you over the divorce. That's going to get you off of alcohol. That's going to... And we're looking everywhere. Looking at TV. Looking at this guru. Looking at that guru. Going to that conference. How does that... But yet you don't understand what you got in God's word. Romans chapter 8, 1 and 2. Look what it says here. It says, therefore, now there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now get your highlighter out. Highlight this in your Bible, on your phone, on your tablet. Look what it says here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm going to say that again. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. What can we draw from this scripture here? We can draw this. Number one, there's two laws, and you're either under one of them. You're not under both of them. You're under one of them. The first law that we see here is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's the Word of God. And when you're living in the Word of God, It produces life. Life to your relationships, life to your marriage, life to your finances, life to your business, your vision, your children, and your children's children. But there's another law. It's a law I can't seem to get sheep out of. It's a law that it hurts my heart so much. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about sheep in the house of God. They won't separate themselves from. It's the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death is a very simple law. Sin produces death. Sin is not your friend. It's not your pet. It's not something nice you just break out on Fridays, Saturdays, and if there's a quinceañera that weekend. See, you laugh, but it breaks my heart. And here's why it breaks my heart. Because it is a law that if you sin, things in your life will begin to die. My job as a shepherd is not to get a big church and to get as many people in here as we can. My job as your shepherd is to teach you how to live under the law of life in Christ Jesus. Because this is the life that will produce life in you. Here's the mistake Christians make. We think we can live on the fence of the law of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. You can't. You can't. And so here's what we have in many Christians' lives. I go to church, but I still like to smoke a little something past that. I like to get lit every now and again. You know, when my family has a quinceañera, I'm going to throw back a few modelos. Sorry, Pastor, I'm just letting you know that's how it is. But hey, Pastor, check this out. The Bible says that I can ask Jesus for forgiveness and I'm good. But here's the problem, guys. This isn't a forgiveness issue. This is a death issue. So here's a mistake we make. We think that all sin is a forgiveness issue. You're right. Jesus will forgive you for your sin every single time. But that doesn't free us from the consequences and the choices that we make. Anytime you choose to live a life of sin, you release death into your life. But here's the deception in the church, right? We think as long as nobody finds out about it, I'm good because I asked the Lord to forgive me and he forgave me and here I am. It's not a forgiveness issue. It's a life and death issue. If I live according to the word, life floods my marriage, it floods my kids, it floods everything I touch, guys. But as long as I keep sin around as a pet, life can't come to me. Instead, what comes to me is a lot of death. It's a lot of death. And so guess what begins to happen in your life as it pertains to God? Nothing. Pretty soon, a Christian that willfully walks and lives in sin will have no appetite for God. And you know why? Because sin will kill your appetite for God. And now you don't even want to go to church. Not only do you not want to go to church, you hate church. And you hate the people in church. And you most definitely hate the pastor of the church. See, you laugh, but I've seen good people fall down this road. Because Jesus put it like this, you cannot serve two masters. Because at the end of the day, you will love one and hate the other. And here's the issue. Some of us love sin so much, and we won't want to let it go. And so when you hang on to it, and that's what you're choosing to love, it won't be long. You'll hate Jesus. Now, you might never say it out of your mouth, I hate Jesus. But everybody will know that you don't love him. Because what does Jesus equate love as? Obedience. It's the language of love for Jesus. Jesus' love language. Y'all know about the love languages, right? And come on, physical touch. What's the other one? Affirmation. Gifts and services. Come on, come up here and preach, Rebecca. Rebecca's got them all down. Amen. But you get the point, right? You get the point. These are ways that we receive love. Jesus receives love one way, obedience. Obedience is his love language. My point is this, guys. The law of sin and death produces death. But here's the beauty of a life in Christ. I need you to catch this before I can talk to you about your sword. The law of life in Christ Jesus makes you and I free from sin and death. It literally cuts us free from the things that we used to love to do. The things I used to love, I don't love no more. How many can truly say amen to that? There are things I used to love to do. Ooh, I see the smirks all over the room. Some of the, I used to love to do some things too, Pastor. We did. We used to love some of our sins. But it's interesting, when you encounter Christ, I literally have no desire to do those things anymore. I don't want to do them. I don't want to do them. Even if it came across my path, I'm good. Miss me with that. Some of you don't know what that's like. I want to be sensitive because some of you are like, Pastor, I'm trying, but I love smoking weed. The way that purple kush just hits my nostrils. The way that Acapulco gold just slides. See, you laugh, but I'm moving prophetically right now. The way that Modelo just hits after a wedding, after a hard day's work. Pastor, I just ain't there yet. That's okay. I get that there's some of us that are just coming into the faith and we're struggling. And we're like, man, you're trying to serve God. You're trying to get this thing, but man, you love your sin. Let me help you this morning. The way I got free is understanding the law of sin and death. You see, the way I got free is when I gave my life to Jesus, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. It sets me free. And you might say, well, Pastor, it ain't done that for me yet. Here it is. It's because you're not walking in the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And it is a walk. It's a daily walk. What'd they tell you in AA? One day at a time. One day at a time. That means today, you got to get up and choose to walk in the law and the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what we got to walk in. And so the more you walk in it, check this out. The more you get up every day and walk in that law. Let me break down truly what the law, what the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is, because it's a law. Guys, it's literally this, his word. His word. The law of the spirit of Christ Jesus is his word. When I get up every day and I walk in his word, it takes away my desire from sin that will then lead to death. And I can walk in a life that produces life. But here's the issue. You got to walk in his word. And to walk in his word, you ready? Not rocket science. You got to read his word. And the average Christian does not read his word. Doesn't read his word. So let me break it down to you like this. The word of God is the law of the Spirit. Let's look over at John chapter 6, 63. The word of God is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. If I'm walking in God's word, sin has no dominion over me and death cannot come into my life. But every time I tiptoe over into the law of sin, it's going to produce death. It's going to produce death. This is why, guys, we see what we see in American church today. Because everybody thinks it's a forgiveness issue. Yeah, I went out last night and I did some things, but I got on my knees and I asked God to forgive me. I'm cool, right? Cool, right? You're forgiven, but you were also released death into your life. Now, let's look at John chapter 6, 63 here. John chapter 6, 63, you need to highlight this in your scripture here because I'm still teaching you about the sword before I could tell you to swing it. It says this, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh produces nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Let me read that part again. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Now, why is this so important to understand? It's because most Christians don't read the word because their flesh profits nothing. Let's read that whole scripture again. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, Jesus says, they are life. So here's the situation we find ourselves in right now. The situation is this. You are looking to your flesh to tell you if the word was good or not. Your flesh profits nothing. Get out of your flesh. Your flesh profits nothing. Quit asking your flesh if the word was good or not. Because what we see in America now is people gauge their church on how much their flesh is entertained. Pray for your pastors in America. We are under a tremendous amount of pressure. And you see it just like I do. It's all over social media. I mean, I saw a men's conference, right, a couple weeks ago. Men's conference. Had a monster truck rally at the men's conference. Full-on monster truck rally. And then after the monster truck rally, they had an MMA fight. Some of you are like, dang, Pastor, where was that at? That sounds hecka cool. At church? At church, Pastor? We gonna do that? See, here's my thing, right? Nothing wrong with a monster truck rally. I personally ain't ever been to one. Anybody here been to a monster truck rally? Okay, all right. I want to go. Will, you got to take me to a monster truck rally. I don't know why I'm asking the white guy, but I just am. I just am. I want protection when I'm there too, you know. What you doing here? No. I'm cool with monster truck rallies. I love me some MMA. That's cool, but it should not be the church's responsibility to entertain you in order to give you the word. That's an outreach. We'll do that for an outreach. But if we're having a men's conference, and I ain't mad at those folks, right? Because this is the problem. The people are putting this demand on the shepherds. Profit our flesh. And so that's what we got to do to get Christians to come to church. But the Bible says this, the spirit, the word is spirit. The flesh profits nothing. That's why some of you come to church and you're so used to listening to your flesh, you're bored with church. You're bored with it. You don't even like it. It's like, oh, you get out and go, how was it? I was all right. I was kind of bored in there. That's your flesh talking. No, better yet, you know what that is? That's your flesh crying, whining. I didn't get nothing out of church. You want to know why? Because the word is spirit. The word is benefiting your spirit, not your flesh. Be careful that you don't be flesh-led when you come to church. Because then I got to impress you with revelation. Then I got to do tricks and silly illustrations. And I got to pull out a dog and a cat and illustrate the word. And then you get it. Oh, listen, I don't mind doing that for babies. But when we're 10 years into this thing, and we got to do tricks to make sure your flesh is satisfied at church, we ain't ever going to grow. Because the word is spirit. Here's what I liken it to. And this is for all the mechanics in the house. This is the limit of my mechanics understanding. You want to know if you have gas in the car. So you check the oil. How dumb is that? Oh, I got to check if I need gas. Let me check the dipstick here. No gas in here. Here's the problem, fool. You're checking the wrong thing. We say, well, Pastor, how do I check my spirit? How do I check my spirit? See, and this is why you got to get this today, right? Because the reason most of you don't read your word is you think it's not working. You say, oh, this is the day, man. This is it. This week, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And you go to Monday, and you crack that word open, and you read, thou shalt, you know, you go in King James. Some of you, all you guys, that Catholic Bible, you know, and there, and you close it, and you go, I didn't get nothing out of that. Okay, I'm going to try again tomorrow, though. Praise God, Father, thank you. And you get in there, you get another translation, and you're reading it, and it's talking about, you know, he will make my feet like hinds' feet. What the heck is hinds feet? What's he talking about in this Bible? Oh, shit, I got to go to work. Okay, I'm going to close it. And then you're thinking about it later on the day. Man, I didn't get nothing out of that. But see, you're checking with your flesh. Your flesh didn't get nothing out of it. But I'll tell you what did get something out of it. Your spirit, man. The fact that you interrupted your day for 10 minutes to read a little bit of the Bible. Sure, right now you didn't understand it, but you did it. And guess what? The words that I speak are spirit and they are life. That 10 minutes you spent is putting life in your spirit. But here's what happens to most Christians. We quit because reading the Bible is boring. It's just boring. I'd rather go read something. I don't know. It's just boring. It's just so boring when I read it. Let me help you with this. It's boring to your flesh until you train your flesh to understand it. But the average Christian never gets past that because they're checking with their flesh to see if it's working. And it's not working in your flesh. You don't check the oil to see if you got gas. You got to check the gas. You got to check the gas tank. You got to watch that thing on the deck. You got to check the right thing. So how am I ever going to know, Pastor, if it's working? You want to know how? You stop wanting sin as much as you used to. You guys have probably seen this. It's been on the internet before. They did a study by the Center for Bible Engagement. This is a major study. They studied 40,000 Christians. And they wanted to see how the Bible affected them. You've probably seen this on social media. You can put it on the screen, guys. And so they did this poll of 40,000 Christians from ages 10 all the way to 80. And they began to monitor them on their Bible reading. And so what they did is they said, okay, let's check with the Christians that only get the word of God when they go to church. It means this, Monday through Saturday, they never read the Bible. And guess what they found? Zero change in their life. No change at all. They were exactly like sinners in the world because the only time they got the word was coming to church. So then they said, well, let's look at the people that maybe cracked it open one time during the week. So now they're looking at people that read the Bible twice a week. And guess what they found? No change. Zero. Just like sinners. Exactly like them. No change. Nothing changed. Still depressed. Still want to commit suicide. Still ugly. Come on, somebody. Still all the same. So then they said, well, let's look at the third day because Jesus arose on the third day. And then he wrote the third day. Guess what happened? People that read it three times in 1 week, nothing. Nothing. No change. But then they noticed something miraculous on people that read the Bible four times in 1 week. They saw a spike in change in behavior. And behind me on the screen, these are some of the things that they were able to measure. That people that read the Bible four times a week began to see a 30% drop in feeling lonely. 30%. They also began to see people with anger issues, their anger issues begin to decrease up to 32%. Bitterness in relationships began to decrease 40%. Alcoholism went down 57%. Sex outside of marriage, 68%. Feeling spiritually stagnant, reduced up to 60%. Here's another one. Viewing pornography dropped 61%. And can I tell you something else? No therapy was even needed. I'm not against therapy. Get you some therapy. Tell your neighbor, get some therapy. Now, if they got mad when you said it, they probably really need therapy. So now tell them I'll pay for your first session. No, just a second. Now, listen, the reason I make the distinction that these changes happened without therapy is this. You undervalue the word of God. And you overvalue outside help. You got things out of order. You're looking for this thing to break you through and that thing. And I read so-and-so's book and I set up a therapy session. Oh, here's a big one. And I got a coach now. I got a mental health coach and I got a business coach and I got this coach and that coach. But the thing you don't got is the word. Scientific study. This is a scientific study for all of you that like science. This is for you. They changed nothing else except for getting their sword out and reading it 4 days a week. And all these things changed. Think about the things you're dealing with. Maybe you would see significant change in your life if you did this. I know you would. You want to know why? Because of what we just read in the book of Romans. The law of life in Christ Jesus sets me free from the law of sin and death. Therefore, the things that I used to do, I no longer want to do. And the church said. So if you still want to do those things, you need to get over here in this law of the word. Come on over into the word and read it every day. Read it every day. You know it's a trip? That's only four times in 1 week. What would happen if you read it every day? Here's a better one. What if you read it two times in 1 day? Let me go deeper. What if you read it breakfast, lunch, and dinner? You'd be a superhero. Airbender. What I'm trying to teach you guys is this. You undervalue the word so much. and you place so much value on other things. When if I could just get you to read the word a little bit of time every day, it will activate the law of life in Christ Jesus. But now here's the second part of it. After you read it, the law is really activated when you do it. But you can't do what you don't know. And you don't know keeps you, what you don't know keeps you in darkness. Now think about this. If you don't read the Bible, you remain, which is the light, you remain in darkness. Who's the prince of darkness? Satan. Now, can you see why your money is all messed up? Can you see why your emotional health and mental health is all messed up? Can you see why your pastor is always trying to push you towards the word? Because as long as you're operating under the law of darkness, sin and death, under ignorance, Satan's got it. He's got a room in your house, let's put it like that. And whenever he wants, he comes and messes with your marriage. Whenever he wants, he sits on the couch next to your wife. And you know what the Bible, well, you know what the Bible says that Satan's nickname is? The accuser of the brethren. That's why when you get home from work every day, she's mad at you. And you ain't even been home. That's like losing your job on your day off, Craig. But guess who's talking to her? The devil you let in through sin and death. So you're at work, he's on the couch next to her. Pff, that fool left his socks out again. Again. And you keep telling him, but he don't let, I mean, something little makes it huge. Never mind you're going to work and making money for the house and doing good stuff. You've got some flaws, yes. But see, the accuser of the brethren will speak and cause havoc into your marriage. You better get out of that sin, that law of sin and death. Am I helping anybody? See, it's interesting that we see here, you know, that the effects of just reading the Bible, loneliness drops. So you think you need a man. No, you need a Bible. You need a Bible. I'm just going to let that one marinate right there. Alcoholism drops. 57th pastor, I just like to get a little drink after work. Ain't nothing wrong with that, right? But you alcoholic. Ain't nothing wrong with it, but you an alcoholic. Yeah, I need to get, you need a Bible. You need a Bible. Bitterness in relationship, that's another big one, 40%. Come on, some of you need this. How many are married to a bitter person? Come on, raise your hand. Y'all passed. Wanted to see if there were any dummies in the church today. That's a whole nother prayer line. You raised your hand. I need to pray for your sense. That was a good time for you to keep your hand down by faith. Guys, the word of God is rich. The word of God is what I want you to see. You got to use it. You got to read it. And you got to choose it. Now, here's the second part of walking in the law of freedom in Christ Jesus. And it comes down to this. Please write this down. The way you activate the law of freedom in Christ Jesus is you read his word and then you do it. You read his word and then you do it. And when you do the word, it activates freedom in Christ Jesus. Effectively, here's what it does. Effectively, canceling out the other law, which is sin and death. Without the word, guess what we all want to do? Sin. That's our natural inclination. We want to sin. We want to just have fun, want to please our flesh, we want to gratify our flesh. But this is what's supposed to make Christians different. If I could get you to read the word and then do the word, it activates a law that sets you free from sin and death. And then the things that I used to love to do, I don't want to do no more. You used to love to go to the club, have your booty all out there. You used to love that. You used to love to post crazy pictures on Instagram. Put your butt all out. And you loved it. Listen, you loved it because it got you attention. But if I could, can y'all handle this today? The pose was a little much, maybe. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. But you got to see, if you could start walking in, reading the word, doing the word, your desire for things will change. The problem with most of us, guys, is our appetites are out of whack. And what that means is this. We'll binge watch a whole series, hours on hours on hours. And some of those, you ever watch a good series and then you get to like two or three episodes and you're like, man, this is stupid. Get back to a battle scene. Come on, you know, let's get some fighting in this thing. Tired of these two, this guy and this girl just whispering to each other in this movie here. But you sit through it. But you come to church and you want it in an hour. You want this thing nice and folded and wrapped it up. Get me out of here. You see, our appetites are out of whack. We'll watch a movie, but we won't read a Bible. We won't read a book. See, we got Propel and Kingsman, and some of you don't come. You want to know why you don't come? Because it don't please your flesh. Guys will come to Kingsman, and they'll be like, oh, man, we're watching a video. I didn't get nothing out of that. No, your flesh didn't get nothing out of it. Because what the Bible tells me is this, his words are spirit, and they are life. Now, there are times, until you train your flesh will begin to get things out of it. Your flesh will enjoy it. My flesh enjoys it now. I've trained it. I've taught it. But in the beginning, it may seem like, dang, I went to Kingsman. We watched that video and we talked. And I really didn't get nothing out of it. No, you did get something out of it. You're checking the wrong tank. Ask your spirit if you got something out of it. And again, how do I know if I got something out of it? You want to know how you know? Because soon what's going to begin to happen is your appetites will change. And now, see, you felt like you came to Kingsman on Friday. I didn't really get nothing out of it. But 4 days later, and the homies at call you up, and they say, hey, let's go bowling. You want to know what bowling is? Some of the guys are like, no, my wife's here. Don't tip her off. No, let me help your wife. They'll go bowling, but you know what's at a bowling alley? A bar. Ain't nobody bowling. People drinking. But here's the thing. You've been getting the word in you. And you've been thinking, it's not working. I'm not getting nothing out of this. But then you get the call, and you're like, nah, I'm cool. I'm going to stay home tonight. I don't want to go out. I don't want to go to the bowling alley bar. I'm going to chill at home. When that happens, you know what has just happened? Your spirit has rose up. The thing you used to like to do, you don't do no more. And you want to credit yourself. Well, I just made a good choice. No, fool. You've been building your spirit up. The law of sin and death has been broken. And now you don't want to go out with the fellas. You'd rather stay home with your wife and kids and eat some macaroni and cheese or whatever them kids want to eat. And you start seeing a change. All the while, you thought you weren't getting nothing out of the stuff. But what you were getting out of it was the law of sin and death was defeated. Because here's what I need to tell you before I let you go. The wages of sin is always death. It's not a forgiveness issue, guys. We got to get past that. It's not a forgiveness issue. And there's some of us here, we think as long as my pastor don't know, I'm straight. But the minute you think I know, you think that's the problem. I ain't the one you got to worry about. Got to worry about him. You got to worry about what you're allowing in your life every time you choose to operate in the law of sin and death. And so I always got to be up here saying, choose life. And how do I do that? Read the Bible every day and then do it. Then do it. Some of you do it until you get a boyfriend. Some of you do it until you get a girlfriend. You're a great Christian. But the minute you get a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you have sex with them. You want to know why that is? You want to know why that is? Because you don't understand what I'm talking about. Statistics will show couples that sleep together before they get married have an increase of 50% more divorce. The best thing you can do for somebody you're dating is save them from you. Because if you say, I love you, baby, so I'm not going to sleep with you because I want to be with you forever. And statistics say that if I sleep with you before I marry you, I increase our chances of getting a divorce. And you want to know why? Here's the reason. Because you sowed sin, now you get death to the relationship. See, you think it's just old grandma stuff. Baby, don't sleep with him. You're going to go straight to hell if you sleep with him. And then you get the revelation, well, wait, God will forgive me. Why not? Whoopee, let's go. No, but you don't know this part. It's not a forgiveness issue. He'll forgive you. But what you have now sown is seeds in the foundation of your relationship that you may not break up now, 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. It'll manifest. Now, you can escape that. Some of you looking like, dang, I've been messing up. Something called repentance. But let's not forget what repentance is. Repentance is changing our mind and going the other way. So if you've been doing it that way up till now, let's change that. Let's repent. Now, here's what I want you guys to do as I close. You got homework. What would happen if you read your Bible every day, at least 4 times a week? What would the statistics say about your life? How would these statistics affect your marriage, your sex life, your anger issues, your run to pornography, or your tie to this addiction or that addiction? See, this is how powerful the Word of God is. When you activate His Word in your life by doing it, life floods your marriage. Life floods your kids. Life floods your body. You need a healing in your body? Crack that word every day, and just life is going to rush into you. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. Stop listening to your flesh. Pastor, it's just so boring. Get over it. There's a lot of stuff you got to do that's boring. You ever notice that? And you don't stop doing that. Come on, somebody. Amen. A lot of things you got to do in life that are boring. You don't stop doing that. And listen, it's only boring in the beginning. Because pretty soon, when God sees your commitment, God sees, man, this person, he just keeps coming back to me. He keeps coming back into my presence. He keeps reading my word. She keeps coming. He then begins to give you the delights. See, first it's the discipline, then the delight. See, we all want the delight first. The discipline, then the delight. Then your flesh can get something out of it later on sometimes. The word doesn't bore me. The word excites me. Want to know why? Because I see Christ in the word. You want to know another reason? Because I see what Christ can do for me and my family in the word. You want to know what else? Because I see my purpose in the word. He'll do the same thing for you.
Hey everybody, Pastor Sergio here, and we just want to thank you for tuning in to our podcast. Make sure you check us out next week as we continue this series.